Jennifer.
Good evening, Ed.
Good evening, Josh.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. You can find us online at gleefulpodcast.com, on Twitter at Gleeful Podcast, and on Facebook at Gleeful Podcast. We try to keep things easy.
Yeah.
We're currently streaming.
I know, right?
Consistent.
We're currently streaming live on Ustream.tv, so you can find us there. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook to figure out when we're going to record, because someday in the future, we will find a time when everyone's always available. But I don't see that ever happening.
No, I'm fine with our Wednesday 8:30 my time, whatever, 5:30 your time, most of the time. And I've been fine with it all the time up to this point, mainly. Except for when that wasn't working.
except for when it doesn't work.
There was some consistent. Like, we were consistent for a little bit, but no. Idol was just getting onto the wire, and that's my only mention of it. But this episode is brought to you today by Parrot Bay Daiquiri Strawberry Mix.
Okay. Well, this is about to get real, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm 22, it's legal in case anyone thought I wasn't or something.
For all the listeners that were wondering if you were 21. Well, we are back to discuss the latest episode of Glee entitled Funeral. And we opened up there with Naya Rivera, who told us that she, just as much as anyone, likes to put the fun in Funeral.
But she's about to go Lima hype on those people.
Mm-mm. Straight up.
Yeah.
Lots of people digging this one, digging this song all on Ustream. People saying they liked this one. You know, this was pretty cool. It's also our second Naya Rivera / Amy Winehouse song. So that seems to be the vibe.
That's fine. I'm perfectly fine with that. Santana is totally... She totally rocks in this genre. She rocks in general, but her every Amy Winehouse song she's done has been killer. And frankly, as much as I love me some Rachel Berry, I would have chose her for the competition.
You would have chose Santana?
Yeah, I would have chose Santana. Honestly. Like, yeah. She was the most exciting.
Well... We'll get to that.
So, I mean, there could be better vocal performances, but in the end, it's about excitement, and Santana brought excitement.
Well, you would have chose her, because if you don't, she would have gone straight up Lima Heights on you.
Totally.
So that's definitely dangerous. But welcome, everybody. I guess we can just dive right in. This episode's kind of interesting because there's. Not a lot happened, but not a lot happened at the same time. Well, it was kind of just a culmination. Like, I felt like this episode was really just setting us up for next week. I didn't really feel like we didn't open any new doors. We just kind of closed some, you know, tied off some loose ends so that next week they can focus entirely on nationals, or more specifically, they can focus entirely on New York.
Well, they did open a couple of doors, but you know, if you want to go through kind of plot by plot, we can get to those doors.
Well, we'll definitely do that eventually, but just, you know, to get the temperature of the room, Jennifer,
yes.
You watched Funeral without me. Did you cry a little?
I did. I cried a lot, actually. I'm such a sap. It was very moving, especially when there was, you know, singing during the funeral and just watching the video with Sue and her sister and, you know, watching Sue kind of lose it a little bit and actually have to lean on, of all people, Will Schuster. So, yes.
Of all people.
Of all people.
Ed, how did you feel about Funeral?
Besides the fact that I was... so radically wrong with the death beyond, like, there were so many people who I was thinking it was, and it didn't even come to me that it was going to be who it was. It was a good episode. It wasn't great. There were some great moments, but it wasn't a great episode.
Yeah, I actually kind of agree. I mean, I think it was a really fine episode. I just feel like, you know, the episode before the finale, I was expecting something a little bit more, and this just seems like they just wrapped up some things without explanation and are kind of getting ready to move on. But I did figure out who it was because it was either on the Facebook page or through the IMs or something like that, or conversations. But there were two clues. One was that it was going to be a woman, and one that Sue was crying. So it was like right as the episode was starting, I'm like, oh, wait, it's her sister.
Sue was crying?
Somebody said that. I read that somewhere.
Oh, on Twitter or something.
So,
yeah.
Or on Facebook, which I'm
radio
actually,
silence.
I'm going to have to stop reading Facebook. It's just because even somebody pointed out today it's getting less spoiler free.
Oh, so. Yeah, it's Facebook. Facebook is all about Facebook and Twitter are all about spoilers. Yeah.
So what did you think, Josh?
You know, I liked aspects of it and I didn't like aspects of it. I really liked having Jesse in the mix. I thought that was really fun. I really liked, you know, what the funeral brought out in people. I mean, particularly the song that they performed at the funeral, I thought was lovely. But the funeral itself, the whole plot line of Sue's sister dying, that felt, I mean, obviously I did cry a little because I am a 14-year-old girl, but I didn't, it was
really?
deep down. But it was a little, I don't know, there was something about the funeral that felt a bit forced, and when drawing the heaviness of this of this very serious, you know, turmoil that Sue is going through, and then playing that against all of the Jesse St. James madness, that felt off to me. And if you watch the show, it's kind of like the first half is about Jesse St. James, and then the second half is about the funeral, and then they like tag on at the end. The show keeps going for like another 5 minutes. So yeah, for me, I liked certain aspects of it, but it didn't really feel like it gelled. There's a couple of people, I think it was Irish Mike, who brought up he's calling it the funk of season two. Kind of the prep episode where not a whole heck of a lot happens, but it gets us ready for the big moment.
I mean, like, I don't understand why they had to kill off her sister. Like, that is it just so that, you know, Sue would back off of Will and New Direction and not stand in their way?
Because there was nothing, because up to this point, there was nothing foolproof. I mean, there was nothing that she could have failed with destroying New Direction's flight path. That's why they had to do it. Like, it was just going so well, them being rerouted through
Olivia. But the fact is, like, she didn't even change it. It was after the fact, and then Terry saved the day. Again, of all people.
Yeah, that was pretty odd. We did get this listener. They weighed in kind of similarly.
Mike from New York, also known as Irish Mike, as you may know from the live.
Oh, well, there you go.
I'm calling because I'm watching the funeral episode of Glee, and I have a comment to make. I felt that the death of Sue's sister, even though it was memorable and kind of emotional, I didn't feel it was necessary for the plot at all. It really just gave that the area to get back with Quinn, get back to Quinn and Finn, have them break up.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's kind of how I felt about it. As deep as it was, it just didn't really feel necessary.
And it just seemed like, again, you know, it was just supposed to be a catalyst for Sue to back off and not stand in the way of New Directions. But like, what's Sue if she's not evil Sue?
It was funny when she said, why did my sister have to die? She's one of the sweetest people that was ever created. And you guys know me. I'm probably the worst person. Yeah. I'm probably the meanest.
I am the most evil person. Yeah.
It's interesting. I don't know. The whole thing, yeah, that was kind of my read on it. Yeah. But it did, you know, have some interesting things kind of motivate in the plot. And it did bring Finn and Quinn kind of to their, in some way, end, I guess.
Yeah, but she kind of, I mean, she's not going down without a fight. Or she sounds like she definitely has a plan to either destroy him or destroy New Directions. And I don't know.
Ed, what was your opinion of Sue kind of being, I don't want to say nice, but it was definitely, you know, a different Sue this week.
I thought she was interesting. I don't know. This is just totally the prom queen thing again. Like the things that happened because of the funeral were good things that were brought out. but the actual event itself wasn't that fulfilling, and it was just kind of sad. I don't know. It felt natural. I will say that, like, everything that Sue did kind of felt natural. She was kind of like pushing people away, and she was kind of she was being Sue, like, even in her weakness.
I mean, when she kicked Becky off of the Cheerios, like, that was crazy. And then when the scene where Becky went to Will and asked, you know, to be put on New Directions, that, I don't know, to draw those scenes up against, like, the Jesse St. James absurdity was just so weird.
Well, I mean, but life in general is always kind of a mix of, you know, tragic and absurd. So
I thought it was
out of place. Sorry,
Ed.
when Becky went to Will, for I thought like it was so forced, her lines, like, it didn't feel natural. Like, why would she be like, I just want to be a part of something where I belong? Yeah. Yes, that's what she's thinking, but people don't say that unless they're me. So, like,
well, I mean, Becky seems like a very pure, honest person. You know, I mean, she wants to belong so bad to the Cheerios. She, you know, would carry out all these evil deeds for Sue, and so I don't think she has it in her to naturally be manipulative or calculating. So, I mean, for her to be that open about it, it didn't seem out of place. It felt so sad. I'm like, I mean, I guess if they weren't traveling, you know, Mr. Shu could have said, well, you know, you can sit in and you can help me with the music or help with different things. But I guess because he has to, you know, organize them, and they're paying for everybody to travel, I mean, maybe that's why he couldn't, you know, find place for her. But yeah. And then, yeah, I don't know, like, I kind of go back, and then at the end, I really don't think I ever heard Sue say, I'm sorry to Becky.
No, she didn't, but I thought that kind of worked. I mean, she also didn't say, I'm sorry to Will. That's kind of Sue's character, and I was thinking the same thing as I'm watching that scene, waiting for Sue to say, I'm sorry, waiting for Sue to say something.
Yeah.
But I think that's the essence of Sue. You know, she will never say she's sorry. But then, you know, to tell Becky that she'll be head cheerleader, like, you know, that'll be unique. I'm not really sure where that will go,
yeah.
If it will even happen. But yeah, you know, I think if Sue were to be like, I'm sorry, we would all go, I don't know.
Well, she wished Will good luck.
She did. She wished him good luck, which is probably the closest you're going to get from Sue. Right. But, you know, the question is, should Will have let Becky on the team? Like, the first time I watched the episode, I was really, I was like, just expecting him to, you know,
find a place
for her. And the second time it really hurt, you know, the second time I was just kind of more in his shoes and thinking, he's in such a tough position right now. And in real life, I guess, what are you going to say? I mean, in real life, I think the least he could have done is said, you can hang out with us, but you can't come to New York. You know, you can attend the meetings and
be a part. Like, he could have found a way for her to, you know, help organize the music, or, you know, do something for them, help with costumes.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, but yeah, because of the travel and everything, I mean, to me, that actually made it seem more real. I think if he, you know, with everything that he has to figure out in the next couple of weeks before they go, you know, it's not just them traveling, it's him traveling, it's him starting, you know, his new career, him trying to keep them focused and you know, so that they can win nationals. So yeah, I kind of, like, to me, it seemed very realistic and very honest to, you know, say, no, it's just not possible right now.
Yeah, feel free to try out next time, but it's kind of rough right now. It was an interesting situation. Ed, do you have any opinion on this Becky and Mr. Shu scene?
Well, just that it just felt so forced, and I think in the end, I thought it would have been so sappy and so unrealistic, even by Glee standards, if he said yes.
Even by Glee standards.
Like, this isn't where they have like 11 people and they need to fill in a slot. No, they have 13 people They're fine on members. It's wow, they do have 13 people. Must be nice to have an extra member for a change in place.
Well, yeah. Well, Quinn, you know, when Finn said thanked Quinn for not quitting the team, and that was my first thought was, well, she can't quit the team because then they won't have enough members for Nationals.
She can quit. Whatever. Bye. No, I love you, Quinn. I love you and your nose. Don't leave me.
It's going to be interesting.
Let's go ahead. You know, eventually we did get to that funeral, and they performed Pure Imagination. And here's a bit of that from Glee. This is, I guess we start off with Kurt here, don't we? Chris Colfer.
I thought Tina started it off.
Come with me.
You're right.
And you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation. If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want.
So as sweet as this was, the whole montage of images of Sue's sister playing and their kind of time together, it struck me as really contrived because they weren't images from the show. Like, they were images, and we've seen this character twice before. Grilled Cheeses and one other time that I can't remember off the top of my head.
So what scenes would it have been pictures of from the show?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'm with Ed on how it did feel forced, because if they killed, like, think about if they killed Bert in this episode. Think about if the funeral was for Bert. We would have been, like, sobbing. Like,
yeah.
We would have been inconsolable. But with Sue's sister, it wasn't so much that, like, the death really caught. It was just kind of the way it was portrayed that, you know, affected you. It affected you in as much as any person's death would affect you. And so it didn't, it just felt a little forced, a little, you know.
Well, I think if they showed pictures of scenes that we'd already seen, I think it would have felt hollow. Like, like that was the extent of her life. And so, no, I thought it was really sweet the way they did it. Yeah, I just, again, I think it's a very touching storyline in that, you know, and then we get to see this other side of Sue, vulnerable, hurt, you know, guilt, a little bit of guilt there. All these different things, but it just, I don't understand why it had to be like this episode, you know, right before. Because, I mean, like, again, unless it's just to pull back her anger and, you know, I mean, like, what's going to happen to the League of Doom?
Was it the Legion? I don't know. Who knows?
I wrote League.
I'm pretty sure it's League, but I think the League of Doom, Lod, if you will, is pretty much dead.
I know. That was like the best plot line that never went anywhere.
I know. Although, at the end, when, you know, Terry was acting all nice and say she was leaving and then saw Emma walking with Will, I could just see her, like, trying to, you know, take on Sue's mission as her own.
Well, we had lots of stuff with Will and Emma in this episode, and Terry.
Yeah.
And Terry, who drafted Howard, and they called him Panda Express, which was awesome.
And the food isn't Chinese, or, I mean, I'm not Chinese, neither is the food. It's so true.
It was so great.
Yeah.
Would you like a funny Ed story?
Let's go, Ed. Yes.
Okay, so I went to, a couple weeks ago,
went to Panda Express after a test, so I was like super tired. And there was this really cute guy working there. So I was like, and then, so I was like waiting there, and I ate, and I put like, I like was waiting forever for him to be alone. And I gave him, I then I was like, wrote my number on the receipt, and I gave him my number. Then we started talking on his cell phone. And then like eventually, like a couple of days later, he's like, oh, I'm so excited about prom this weekend. And I was like,
funny. Oh, so how old is he?
I don't know, but that was the end of that. That was so funny ad story for $400. Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, out there. How great was Will's closet, right? The wall of vests.
I love the sweaters. I love all the sweaters.
Oh, you were so envious, I'm sure.
I wish I could wear vests. I don't have the arms for them.
Yes, you do.
But so we've got the wall of vests, him packing up with Emma. I mean, we're seeing a much stronger Emma right now. When Emma says to him, you know, I hope you don't come back, I really believe her. There's something sweet about it.
It's very sincere.
Well, I believed it too until I saw her wearing the sweater vest that he identified as the one that the first time he was wearing the first time they met.
Well, but how crazy was it that Typo A just pointed this out? How crazy was it that he freaking threw away the sweater? Like, he tells this really sweet story. This is the sweater I wore the day we met, and she's like, "Oh, that's really great." Oh, and then he puts it in the trash pile.
Well,
it's donation pile. It's not trash.
Yeah, it was the moving on, and she encouraged him to do that. But then she went, you know, picking through the trash, and I'm sorry, the donations, and decided to wear it. It's look kind of cute on her, though.
There's gonna be some fashionable people in Lima with those vests.
Totally.
Yeah. I was concerned that I lost you because it went really quiet, but that's fine.
I'm still here, man.
And those were seriously the most organized piles of, printed labels for the boxes and everything. I've got like, you know, half-filled garbage bags that have to go to donation centers just don't look that good.
So, you know, what do we think is going to go on here? Like, you know, let's predict the future. And Ed, I'm not asking you because you know things.
No, so I know no spoilers. Like I know a song that they're doing next week, but that's the extent of my spoiler knowledge.
Okay, then I will include you in our predicting the future. Fizz, you know, where do you think this is going to go? Do you think Will's going to become a huge smash on Broadway and have to make a choice? Or is he going to come back to be with Emma? What do you see in the future?
I kind of see it the way he predicted it, that he'll go, it'll open, it'll flop, he'll be back.
Did he? I thought he said the end was going to run. Did he say it was going to flop? Is that what it was?
I think he said it would close the next night. Oh. I watched this once. You got to watch it a couple of times today.
There was something about this episode, though. I think it's just the time, this particular week, that even though I watched it twice, I still feel like I didn't catch everything the way a really good episode. I also think that because the episode was so disjointed, it was hard to get into a groove and really like
emotionally
connected
to
it. Yeah. Ed, what do you think? What's the what do you predict for the future?
I just want to say that I was correct in predicting that he was going to go to Broadway for the summer, which was a complete guess. I had no validation in any form of spoilers, but it was the obvious conclusion, I feel. Yeah. Because like he's wanted, like they talk about it all the time, like this is what he's wanted.
Yeah.
So I mean, chances are knowing Glee, he's going to be somewhat successful, or it's going to flop, but someone's going to see him there and they're going to want to do bigger things. He's going to come to a choice of Glee Club or Broadway, and he's going to choose Glee Club, even though I'd be fine with him choosing Broadway and we can bring in Holly Holiday, but apparently the budget won't allow it, so yeah.
Boise Squid says April's show will crumble, and listener Dylan says I think the show is going to flop, so that seems to be the way things go. Listener Erica says I really think it hinges on Matthew Morrison's career, so that's pretty safe. That's pretty safe. But we did get Terry back, and we got a softer side of Terry in this episode. Terry actually being a little sweet after she ruins everything. And so how great was it? Figgins' email was getting figgy with it.
Yeah,
and his password was 1234.
Awesome. Well, see, apparently I'm stupid because I thought the most common password was password.
Me too.
It is, yeah.
That's what I thought because we actually used that for one of our programs at work.
Oh, gosh. The number one most common password is password. The number two most common password, I think, is God.
I thought number one and number two would be password and admin.
Is that with a capital G?
I just remember there was a list that came out of the most common passwords, and I want to say one was password and two was God, because and people were like, yeah, you know, it's it shows what people are thinking of when they're trying to protect their stuff. But yeah, so it was also funny to get Howard. Where were we? We were at the horror movie convention this weekend, God. And there was a guy who looked exactly like Howard. Every time I looked over, I thought that was him.
Yeah, he's across the aisle from us.
But at the end of the episode, so Terry says she's going to Miami to be a manager at Sheets and Things.
This opening up a new branch is so exciting.
And she gets a job, assistant from her title.
Yes, that was kind of weird to me because we've got, you know, Will going to New York. One of the things that I think bugged me about this episode was that Sue kind of came around and was sweet, and they got first class tickets, so they have no problem getting to New York. And Terry is going to Miami and had a sweet, like, goodbye. Like, it was almost too cleanly tied up.
But I still don't think that last lingering look she had
when she saw him walk away with Emma.
Yeah.
You think
I'm totally with Jen on that one. It's like when I saw Terry in this episode, my first inclination was like, okay, well, they're going to finally drop her from the opening credits because she's going to be gone next season officially.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. She might be at the credits the entire season next year and only make four appearances, much like this season.
Sorry. Go ahead.
That's just how it'll be. Yeah.
Art Chick 2002 pointed out maybe she's going to Miami to hook up with a plastic surgeon. Bada boom. Ba-dum.
Did she follow them?
No.
They came to LA. Forget it.
I don't want to ruin the last two seasons of that show that you should never watch because it got really horrible.
I'm just
saying. Are you talking about Nip Tuck?
Yes.
Hold on. What are you talking about?
I do not think we've seen the last of the Honey Badger.
I don't think it's possible.
I don't think so either, but I don't think she's a regular. Like she wasn't even a regular this season.
No.
But she technically was.
Yeah.
Like, I like how she's in the opening sequence, but still Court Overstreet and Lauren Zices are still guests. I'm like, okay, calm down.
It's true. Down.
Well, Mike Chang too.
Wow.
Or Harry Shum Jr.
Mike Chang makes the most sense of all of them. Like, he's kind of there. He's like Brad. He's like performance furniture.
Well, we're gonna cue up another song here. Let's go ahead and maybe we'll do a little Chris Colfer here up next. But my question to the group is, I now forget what my question for the group was.
Was it gonna win?
Oh, how much do you think American Airlines paid for that plug?
Seriously? How many people are going to try to get monkeypox?
Yes.
I'm going to try
immaculate.
That.
It's immaculate. Yeah, those bathrooms are immaculate.
Am I kidding?
Let's go ahead and take a listen to Chris Colfer performing Some People on the Gleeful Podcast.
In the living room, that's perfect for some people of 105. That I gotta see, and all the places I gotta play, all the things that I gotta be. And come on, Papa, what do you say? Some people can be content playing in bingo and paying rent. That's peachy for some people, for some humdrum people to be. June and the Orpheum Circuit. Give me a chance and I know I can work it. I had a dream, just as real as can be, Papa. There I was in Mr. Orpheum's office.
Listener Sapien, she just pointed out something I was thinking during this too. I do love Chris Colfer. This is Sapien writes, I'd love Chris Colfer, but can't the writers pick songs for modern shows? I It's like we're going back to Gypsy for the second time here.
Yeah.
And as much as I like this, I don't think it can anywhere hold a candle to Rose's turn.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't, I don't know, it felt like more of a novelty on this one.
I was really shocked that he picked this as his audition song.
Yeah.
Because I think, yeah, I mean, either something more modern or maybe it was just a chance so he could, you know, confront Jesse when Jesse said, well, isn't it sung by a woman? And, you know, he maybe was for that. But I still think, yeah, they could have found something else that was a little bit more powerful. I don't think this was his best audition song.
Yeah, well, neither was that his best audition outfit. What was that, like,
his outfit flower? Was weird.
What, he had, like, they were printed pants with flowers and skulls.
And?
That was so, what was the other
one? It didn't have, like, a vest with the back out?
Yes, the backless vest.
I have two comments about this. I totally thought Jesse St. James was channeling Josh. When he said, like, it's all like all these Broadway greats, you don't really hold a candle to them. I was like, oh my god, Josh just said that last week. And then so props, Josh. And then my other observation about this song was a la the way that Gwen Stefani took Rich Girl and modernized it. I definitely felt there were parts of that song where I was like, you know, with the right new verses and the right presentation, this could really, like, I felt like there was parts of it that were really modern. Mm. So someone needs to get on that. Let me realize my vision or something. I don't know.
I mean, I think that's part of it, is that, like, they keep going back to the well with Kurt, you know, the Gypsy, and he does Victor Victoria, and I mean, when he even makes a joke about it when he says, oh yeah, I do songs by girls, that's what I do, we covered this last season.
Exactly, yeah, we've already been through this.
Yeah, we've already been through this, and it's just kind of, it's like, okay, but when he does it, like, sometimes it's great, you know, Rose's Turn was fantastic, and Let Joust Out was fantastic. With this one, it felt like a novelty, it felt like a karaoke night.
And it's something we've already seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I was confused during that part, like, I had a dream, Papa. Like,
yeah.
Is it going to go into Rose's turn? Like, what's going on?
Well, that's, yeah, that's like the reprise of the show.
Exactly,
so that goes
yeah.
in every song. But yeah, so it was a little rough. But this leads us into the return of Jesse St. James, or at least the return to new directions of Jesse St. James, coming in as a consultant and forcing everyone to audition for their parts. And it was really... I love having Jesse there, and you know, taking aside the fact that I didn't like this in conjunction with the funeral stuff, I thought this was hilarious. Like, his whole thing about comparing New Directions to vocal adrenaline, you know, what's vocal adrenaline doing right now? They're all on an IV drip in the middle of 24-hour rehearsals.
Exactly.
You know what happens when a member of vocal adrenaline dies? They get used as a prop, like Weekend at Bernie's. And that's soared over the heads of half of the viewing audience. There was, I mean, I love those things about it. His whole, like, he took a class in being a reality show judge. That's genius.
At UCLA, no less.
It was hilarious. So I loved all this stuff about forcing them to audition.
I don't want to give, like, scathing comments that are not helpful or constructive at all. Like,
yes.
Or something that
are,
like, so true. So true.
Everybody keeps bringing up when he told Finn, you dance like a zombie who needs to poop. yes. I mean, he got all the best lines in this episode. Yeah. And, you know, his, like, where he was taking notes all the way through Santana's performance, and then it turned out he was just drawing a cat, which was a fantastic doodle, by the way. It was uncomfortably good. I couldn't have drawn that cat.
I thought it was okay.
Well,
no.
says the sculptor.
Anyhow.
But anyway, Jennifer, Jesse St. James return. What did you think?
I'm enjoying evil Jesse, because he really we talked about this last week. He's very
was there ever, like, good Jesse?
Well, there was
nicer Jesse.
They were
but
nice,
there was
yeah you're right. There was, but there at least seemed like there was the possibility of nice Jesse or good Jesse. Now he's just, you know, he's just evil and calculating and
no, but he's nice to Rachel, though, and that's what matters.
Well, and that's the question, you know.
Is he?
So that's my question, you know. So for you, Ed, since you brought it up, I'll go to you first. What do you think about Jesse being back? Do you think he's actually trying to help New Directions? Do you think he's just trying to get back together with Rachel?
Well, honestly, I think they were to be 100% honest. I think they were kind of at the slump of the Finn Rachel Quinn triangle that they need to bring someone in to mix things up. That's what I honestly think is happening. But in terms of like his character motivation, I think he's at least well intended enough. He realizes Rachel is a star, and he's a star, so them starring together kind of makes sense.
And they have little star babies.
Yes. Jennifer, so do you think that he's back for the right reasons?
I don't. I really don't. But I kind of don't want to think so, because I think that'll get really boring.
A good Jesse.
No, I mean, obviously he kind of rigged this whole thing so that Rachel would be chosen. So whether that's to be in her good graces, or, you know, to get back with her, and so she'll trust him again. I don't know. Or if it's just really to, you know, tear apart the group. I mean,
does he want so desperately for Vocal Adrenaline to win again? Like, really? Like, he's not even in it anymore.
You know what? Who knows with Jesse? I mean, maybe he's being paid by, you know, the...
Well, he says he's good at two things, show choir and crushing the competition.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe this is somehow a Vocal Adrenaline plot gone fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, maybe this time the coach is actually getting what they want out of it. I don't know. Well,
isn't that guy from
Cheyenne. 30 Rock, yeah.
Yeah,
30 Cheyenne,
yeah.
Rock. From everything.
What? So. What else has he been in?
Oh, well, I guess television-wise, he's been in 30 Rock, yeah. He was in Xanadu the Musical on Broadway. He was good.
And I think you and he are the only two that know that. So let's go on.
He's probably mad that someone knows it. Now he's like, oh.
Like, Josh just outed me.
Back me up, theater nerd. Come on. Somebody in the chat should back me up on knowing Cheyenne. Yeah. No? Nobody?
I mean.
Damn.
You mean to me.
What? Okay, so I totally can see in the next episode, Sue somehow not, she didn't plan for the Jesse situation, but somehow managing to take advantage of that. I feel like that's Sue's basically, she hasn't been doing much planning and it being successful, but when things fall in front of her face, she's smart enough to take the opportunity. So Jesse's there, Sue's there, things can happen. Although, I don't know, just from the preview, because I don't know any spoilers actually, which is very disappointing to me. Something happens during the performance and Jesse's like, was that planned? And
yeah.
Will's like, I was like, oh my god, what happened? Someone dies. Or no, not, I don't know, but who knows?
Well, we know something's going down because Quinn has something in the works.
Yeah.
Which we will discuss in 1 second after we take a quick listen to Amber Riley performing Try a Little Tenderness. Here's a bit of
Nadia Turner songs.
Here's, oh my gosh.
Oh, she make it weary. Them young girls, they do get weary. Wearing that same old shaggy dress. Yeah. But when she gets weary, try a little
let's talk about Finn and Quinn cutting ties this week. This is a long time coming, and long time on its way, but it did finally happen. And that scene in the truck was one of Glee's, you know, one of those patented moments on Glee where they like to get a little harsh and serious. Jennifer's giving me crazy looks over there. How did you feel about
Finn? Giving you crazy looks?
How did you feel about Finn and Quinn?
I thought it was surprisingly brave of Finn, but it seemed to make a lot of sense, especially when he put it all out there like that in reference to, you know, it was said at the funeral and how he didn't feel that with her. And he, you know, obviously has been having doubts and questions since prom, if not before.
Yeah, so pretty much all along he seemed a little on the fence about the situation.
And then, you know, whether it's just because Jesse's around or just because...
Yeah.
So as soon as Jesse's out of the picture, he's not going to care about Rachel?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm just... All this is doing for me... me personally, and that's not redundant at all, is that he's just frustrating me so much. Just come on. If you want Quinn, you want Quinn. If you want Rachel, you want Rachel. But please do not do this over and over and over and over again. Just decide. I will respect your decision, but you can't want Rachel just because she's trying to move on. You can't want Quinn because she was trying to move on with Sam either. Stop playing the jealous housewife, Finn, and figure your life out.
It is getting a little, it's definitely borderline. Well, it's not borderline. It's pretty silly. It's like within the moment in the truck. I thought that was, which by the way, Finn drives a truck. This is new.
We saw it during the stakeout.
Touche. So, good catch. So within the, whoa. Do you want to tell everybody about your dream, Jennifer?
No.
So that they'll understand what's going on.
Go on, Josh.
So within the moment within the truck, I did think that it was a really real moment. But it is. I mean, and then he's like right back in the theater with the flower trying to talk to Rachel again. And I'm thinking like, dude, you're a ping pong ball. Like, you don't know what you want. And it is getting a little silly.
I think the best advice Will Schuster has given to anyone ever is that Finn needs to figure out himself before he can be with anyone else. And that's honestly, I think, his issue. He doesn't know what he wants, clearly. Like, before there was, like, I remember in season one they were talking about him wanting to go to college. I don't even hear a mention of that this season. And what about him in basketball? Is that just done? He doesn't care about it?
Well.
So I don't know.
It's so weird because honestly, I didn't get the whole like back and forth waffling thing from him. I mean.
But just at Christmas time, he was with Rachel. It's not that long ago.
Right. Well, so then
5 months.
Kinda
that's
cheated
like an
on
eternity.
Him, and then they broke up. And then he got back together with his last girlfriend.
But he didn't really want Quinn until she was kind of with Sam.
But no, I mean, I don't even know if that's true because, you know, Finn, like, Rachel, I don't think Finn ever fell out of love with Rachel. I think he's always been in love with Rachel. He's kind of said that all along.
Yeah.
It's just that he got so hurt by her. When she hooked up with Puck, thank you, and I think that it was just he had no place else to go, and then here's this beautiful girl who's like, hey, let's take over the world together, and
let's
forgive
be prom
you,
queen and king together. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that he's just. I don't know. It feels realistic. It feels
extremely realistic. And
hard to watch.
I know. It is. But the thing is, it's like he had such unresolved things with Quinn. Because, I mean, it was really abrupt last year, you know? It was like once he found out the baby wasn't his, that was it. It was over.
Yeah.
So, like, their relationship didn't end by his choosing. So... it's like, it's understandable that he would want her still. And then, you know, once she started going on her quest for, you know, the perfect boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, first prom queen, then marriage, then house in the suburbs. I mean, I think he just started to realize it wasn't for him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
See, to me, it didn't feel like waffling as much as it was just kind of a situational thing, and maybe time and perspective. And I don't think he only wants Rachel because of Jesse. I just think it's become more evident to him, and there's more pressure to do it.
There's more at stake. Cause,
yeah.
See, but
because at any moment Jesse and Rachel could run away to Broadway together.
I never got. I mean,
very successful.
Obviously, he dislikes Jesse, but I never got that he had some kind of a. You know, I mean, I always felt that it was just timing, because here's Finn. He's trying to make things work. He's trying to he's trying to get over what happened to him with Rachel. And then Jesse comes along and he doesn't trust Jesse. And whatever his feelings about Rachel, he still cares about her and he still wants to protect her. Mm-hmm. And here's this guy who's proven to be untrustworthy, proven to be, you know, troublesome. And so, you know, I think it was just, it seemed to me that Finn had always been feeling this way. And then it was actually the funeral, not Jesse, that made Finn finally mm-hmm. act.
Because Jesse wasn't at the funeral with Rachel. So when you saw her leaving the funeral and he had just broke up with Quinn and he's looking at Rachel, she was, I think, walking out with Sam. She wasn't even
Ooh,
with Jesse.
Ooh, there's a plot line.
She wasn't even with she wasn't even with Jesse. But, okay, so then back at the auditorium afterwards when Finn has a flower in his hand and he sees Jesse and Rachel, when Jesse is leaning in to kiss Rachel, she looks really... really skeptical about
yeah.
him.
Oh,
so
totally.
I'm thinking she's even having questions about his motivation or her feelings about him. It just looked really uncomfortable.
It was interesting. Again, I mean, it just seems that they're setting up next week. You know, yeah. they're putting all the pieces in place so that we can have big craziness next week. Ed, do you know, have you ever confirmed if it is 90 minutes next week? It can't be because it's after Idol.
They would have said it. They would have said it, and it's not.
Yeah,
because
it starts at 9 after Idol, so it's...
which is disappointing. I feel like it's gonna need to be because they always on these sectional episodes they always have so much happening and then that's it and it's gonna be like a dry spell for months and months and we're gonna. Well, I'm sure within 3 weeks we'll go through everything, but it's just going to be frustrating because there's going to be so much actually there, and then this episode there wasn't enough there. So
yeah, there seemed like a lot of things happened in the episode, but not that much actually happened. I don't know. There was something about
exactly. I think something that doesn't really make sense to me is the original song thing. It's still, like, it's not the same judges, so the songs are still original. I mean, I understand it within the terms of the TV show, they need to do new songs. But in terms of, I guess that's the only explanation, because if it was real life and they were doing original songs, why wouldn't you still do your original song? Like, isn't, like, every time Lady Gaga performs somewhere, she performs a new song? I mean, lately it's been that way, but in general, she's doing the same song over and over again, because that's how you sell records, so.
Yeah, it just... like between wrapping up all these storylines, you know, getting everything all figured out, and then actually having performances not only by New Directions but by Vocal Adrenaline.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a lot.
It's gonna be a crazy episode. It's gonna be one of those. I already see myself next week. I'm like, this is why I love Glee.
I hope so.
So there's a couple interesting things, you know, before we leave. Quinn, I have to ask the group, what do you think Quinn is planning for New York? And for the chat as well. You know, what do you think? Because that was one of the better cliffhangers I think I can remember this season, when she kind of walks out and she's like, no, I wouldn't leave because then you won't know what I've got planned. Like, that was... That was memorable, you know?
Yeah, but okay, so I thought the previews for the funeral showed her saying to Finn, we need to quit.
Yes.
We need to click Glee.
Which was not in the episode at all. Which wasn't.
Okay, so. No, like, so it really won't apply to next week because they're not together and what's this Wii stuff. I think she's going to defect. I think she's going to drop out of high school and just, like, stay in New York. Or try.
Ed?
I think a scene got cut out because I remember reading. I definitely felt, because I read that Quinn's mom was supposed to be in this episode, and I don't remember her in it at all.
No.
So she was supposed to be in this episode. So whatever scene that would have led to her mom being there and that conversation just was like dropped. They're like,
Yeah, something definitely got cut. And that was the big moment in the promo. I mean, that would have been like cutting the slap from last week. The big moment in the promo was Quinn saying, "We have to quit the Glee Club."
Yeah.
And it wasn't even in the episode.
Yeah.
That was a big cut. As far as what Quinn has planned for next week, over in the chat, we have Ms. Rocksteady saying she's going to ruin nationals, which I think is, I think that's probably my thinking too, since I don't think they're going to win nationals. That would be my prediction, that she's going to somehow ruin it. A lot of people saying she's going to get a haircut.
I thought I saw a haircut. In the preview, it looked like.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was after they wrapped that she and Cord got their famous haircuts, but I don't know if it's actually going to play. Ed?
I'm telling, like, as Irish Mike 15 pointed out, yes, Quinn was always destined to become a hipster like Hermione. It's true.
Jen Shu says something to get Rachel to stay in New York for Broadway. Interesting. United Style David says Quinn is planning on auditioning for the Spider-Man musical. That would be bad.
April Rhodes.
And a lot of people saying that she's going to try to seduce Finn. So we shall see. I don't know. I think she's probably going to do something to ruin nationals, like that she's going to, you know, this will be the way she punishes the Glee Club.
That Jesse looks at Mr. Shu and says, "Was that choreographed?
Yeah, is that off book?
Was that planned?"
Jennifer, do you have a prediction?
I did. I said she's going to quit high school and stay in New York.
Ah. Well, yeah, maybe that would fit into the whole man. I don't want to be a Lima loser thing.
Yeah.
She's going to put a Craigslist ad up.
Sugar daddy.
That picture, done.
Oh, okay, I don't know. If I'm going to make a prediction.
Yep.
I think she's just going to collapse on stage mid-performance.
She's going to have another baby? What?
Collapse on stage. I didn't say have another baby. Or I don't know. Or I'm trying to put the pieces of the puzzle that we have. We know something's to do with Quinn. We know it's something to do during the performance. And I'm trying to figure out, like, it has to kind of be a good thing.
Maybe she slaps Finn this time.
Okay.
Or maybe I don't know. maybe she sings "I Love You" with hate, a la Haley. I love you. Kill you. Okay. I don't know. It's gonna be exciting.
And it will be exciting.
We will be talking about it next week for sure.
Well, let's go ahead and take a listen to the last of the audition performances. This is "My Man," as performed by Leah Michelle on the Gleeful Podcast.
When he takes me in his arms, the world is bright. All right. What's the difference if I say I'll go away? When I know I'll come back on my knees someday. For whatever my man is, I am his forevermore. Oh, my man, I love you so. He'll never know. All my life is just despair, but I don't care when he takes me.
So the question is, Jennifer, from these four auditions, who would you give the solo to?
I would have given it to Mercedes.
Interesting. For the Try a Little Tenderness?
Yep.
Ed, who would you have given
Which
the solo to?
I don't think
to?
Was lazy.
I would have given it to Santana. I mean, honestly, like, when I saw four good performances, but I only saw one true star.
Wow, that is quite a statement. I would probably go with. I think I'd go with. Well, that's the thing. It's so hard to pick. They're all so different. Yeah. I would have had them do a song as a group because that's what got them where they got there.
Oh, you know? My God. Okay, right? Mr. Schuster.
I probably would have gone with Mercedes. Oh, from Josh. These four songs, Mercedes was my favorite of the
well,
four.
Well, Mercedes sang it well, but it wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't exciting. Santana filled the room.
I don't know.
She even flirted with Brad.
She did. That was. We've had so much Brad in the last 2 weeks.
It was awesome.
So the question I asked on Twitter to the group was, what song would you play at your funeral? What would be your funeral song? And I am going to put that to the group of you, everyone now. And I'm trying to look them up, but it's not pulling up the people that actually weighed in on Twitter. Where'd they all go?
I know your song.
What is mine, Jennifer?
Well, actually, you had two. I don't know if you still have two, but you want the Rainbow Connection.
Yes.
Performed at your funeral.
I always said I would ask that the Rainbow Connection be performed at my funeral, which actually is... it's actually almost happened a couple times. Listener David over at United Style, he said We'll Meet Again, which would be a very sweet song to play at a funeral. Let's see here. I'm sorry, I'm unable to find because the conversations that we're having in Ustream are filling up my
Your
Glee
Twitter,
inbox.
Yeah,
my Twitter inbox, so I can't find the ones that other people said. Lots of people had Seasons of Love. That was a big one. Snowy has My Way by Frank Sinatra. That's kind of fun. Jennifer, at your funeral?
Gosh, I honestly, I didn't read the assignment for tonight. Fragile by Sting.
Ah. Underpants had Stairway to Heaven. That would be a rockin' funeral, by the way. Dylan Willis had My Wish by Rascal Flatts, which was played at our wedding. RJA688, Landslide. Irish Mike has Born to Fly. That's funny. Ed... what song would be played at your funeral?
Although I've often fantasized about my funeral, about who would show up, what people would say, the tears, the outfits. I haven't really thought about a score. I don't know. It would have to be like a neglected artist, like someone who had so much potential but never realized it. So yeah, I don't know. Like if I had to guess, some cheesy S Club 7 dance song, because you know what, they rock.
Wow.
Deal with it.
let's see. Gleeky Nikki says, "I hope no one has Highway to Hell." It's kind of funny.
I know another really popular one is real popular funeral song. Time to Say Goodbye by Andre Bocelli and Sarah Brightman.
Interesting. The joke I, or not the joke, when back when I was a younger man, and this was a much more realistic conversation for me, I used to always say Toby Keith should have been a cowboy.
That was the other one.
But yeah. As a grown up, I would not want Toby Keith anywhere near my funeral, considering what he's become.
What if he came?
Considering what Toby Keith has become, I would prefer he did not attend my funeral unless we had some kind of a makeup here in the next few. If he called me on the phone, he was like, "Josh, I apologize for the Ugly American song, and I would love to attend your funeral." I'd be like, "Okay, I forgive you. Your first two records were great." But no, I couldn't do that. So yes, people are saying that is a creepy song. A creepy question. People were saying that it was a creepy question. Is that a creepy question? I don't know, Jennifer.
No,
is that
I don't think it's that creepy.
I know you don't think so, Ed. You've totally planned your funeral, apparently.
but not the music. I don't know. Like, I feel like the cliche one is like Josh Groban to Where You Are, which is fine. That's a fine song.
I don't know that one. Sorry.
Yeah.
You don't know To Where You Are?
Okay.
I don't. Jennifer?
I don't know. I don't think it's creepy. I don't think... I mean, it's inevitability. And I think it's less creepy if... I mean, I'm not going to, like, plan it and write out the catering menu right now for it, but there are certain things. It's like, okay, you know, you really should know how I feel about certain things. Like, you know, don't put me in that, you know, horrible dress that I hate but you love, and you know, different things like that.
There's too many ways that was a huge bear trap you just threw down for the unmarried. What Jennifer just did there is she threw a giant bear trap on the ground.
We're just talking conversationally.
Just conversation.
Chances are she's probably gonna outlive you anyway.
It's so true.
My grandmother's lived to 88 and 93.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, that's why I married younger than me. So we're going to kick off around the same time.
Well, that's about all I have for this episode. Jennifer, do you have anything else?
I don't think so.
Ed, anything else for funeral? Putting the fun in funeral?
Putting the fun. I'm going to go all Lyme Heights on them. But unfortunately, I don't have iTunes on this. Current setup. So we only got like 3 new reviews, which is fantastic. So I will mention those next week.
We will definitely we'll mention all those guys next week for the season finale. We're gonna have to talk about how we're gonna record that, Ed. So we'll figure that out and let everybody know what's gonna go on with that.
Is something happening?
We'll talk after the show. But yes, I want to thank everybody. I know we missed a ton of references that people are gonna remind us of. The first one that comes to mind is when Sue called them Frankenteen and Lady Trousers.
We have all. So, summer, Josh. Just stop.
Straight
stop what you're
up.
Doing. Look at your life.
Good
your
point.
To stop.
Womb Rage. That's one that people are going to give us crap for not remembering. Santana smoking cigars. People are going to give us crap for not remembering. So yes, we totally. I know we missed a bunch, but you're right, Ed. We have months to discuss all of this in the off season. So
are we going to be talking Glee Project? I looked at the 12 finalists for the Glee Project. And most of them look like Disney castaways. I'm like, are these Disney people?
they're pretty meh, but we'll definitely. I'm sure we'll talk about. You know, it'll come up. Porcelain, that was a good one. Anyway, for the Gleeful Podcast with Josh and Ed, I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
I'm Ed. Peace out. Only jazz hands.
Good night, everyone. We'll talk to y'all next week. Andrew Pants just said that his birthday is in 45 minutes.
Happy
birthday to him.
Happy birthday, and I want to wish I Am Floyd's mom a happy wedding anniversary. Oh, my God.
Sweet.